bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. So first time it runs long, this time it just cuts off. I figure in another 10 years, we'll get that right. We'll get that right. What's going on, X?
Not much. Another day, another dollar.
Wow, that was so energetic. Didn't he sound energetic? Hang on. All right, I'm excited. Reason I'm excited is I've been kicking around, and I'm going to let you tell me, do we want to do Black History Thursday? Hey, what's up, Essie? You want to do Black History Thursday or Black Book Thursday? I'm thinking, this is just me, I'm thinking Black Book Thursday. That way we can do, I'm going to go do what other people have been asking me to do, because last time I said I was just going to do nonfiction, y'all lost y'all mind. But there's some good fiction books. Well, we're not going to be doing the teasy, sexy, all that other kind of love and all that. We ain't doing all that. But I guess we can read some fiction books, nonfiction books, everything. So, but this week, this Thursday, of course, as I said, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite books and a book that I got information from regarding Black history and regarding all the things that I know about Black history. It's by one of the renowned, award-winning academicians, Henry Louis Gates Jr. And the title of the book, and if you're looking on YouTube, you'll see it right here. It's called Life Upon These Shores, Looking at African-American History, 1513 to 2008, by Henry Louis Gates. It wasn't a cheap book by any stretch. But was it worth it? Yes, every penny. It covers from the time right before we know of our settlement here in America up through to and including the election of Barack Hussein Obama as president of the United States. And so today we're going to be diving in and looking at it. I will put, and somebody remind me, I will put in the chat and I will put in the talking text line the name and the author of the book so you can order it for yourselves and have a definitive. When I say definitive, I mean a definitive authority on Black history, how we came to be, where we were. Does it answer a lot of questions? Yes. Does it pose a lot of queries as it relates to how we got here and where we went after we got here? Yes. Are they answerable? No. And I think one of the drawbacks to Black Americans is that we tend to spend an inordinate amount of time filling in gaps so they sound good, when in fact it's inaccurate. Our Black organizations are notorious for not keeping good notes. Good, accurate notes. I mean, we keep them, but they're what I call lazy notes. So when you write a person's name, you write their full name with a middle initial and a suffix if they have it. Prefix if you need it. So that 200 years from now when they're reading and there are multiple people in the same organization with the same name, you know who you're talking about. That type of thing. Hey, what's up, Sincere? Ronnie Ray Real. What's up, Mal? Hey, by the way, you can stream just like we're talking now. You can stream and watch us live on YouTube and on 1017thetruth.com. Make sure you subscribe and hit notification bell so you never miss a live minute of the show. But if you really, 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 really want to follow us, just download the Truth app. You can listen to all 24 hours of us every single day. All right? Okay. So, what's this book? What's this book about? What are we talking about today? If you look at the book, I'm going to do a quick breakdown of each of the chapters as we go through. I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of what the book is about. Maybe that'll wet your whistle and get you to buy it. So the book is divided into seven parts. You know, biblically, that's perfection. I know some of y'all rolling your eyes. Parts one and two talk about the origins, slavery, and the fight for freedom. What does that even mean? Well, how did Africans get here? We're talking as early as 1513, arriving in Florida with the Spaniards. Those are some of the earliest encounters we had with Europeans and Africans, Native Americans. But then the rise of slavery. How did we develop the transatlantic slave trade? How did we come through the Middle Passage? Who created plantation slavery? Legal conditions that codified it, made us less than human, and made us property. And then we'll talk about the culture, the resistance, the religion. We'll look at Black patriots during the American Revolution, free Black communities that were North and South. We'll talk about expansion and why cotton was part of the economy. We'll touch on some of the abolitionists like Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth. And then we'll dive into the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation. Why was it written? What was it written for? You know, you're taught in school, free the slaves. Well, he freed the slaves, keep the Union together. But then we'll look at Reconstruction, the Freedmen's Bureau. I've talked about that before. The backlash, the rise of the Ku Klux Klan in the early 20th century. Jim Crow. But then we'll talk about culture and self-help. We already talked about W.E.B. Du Bois, the Niagara Movement. Touched on Booker T. Washington. That's my bias. I have a bias against Booker T. Washington. I wasn't trying to settle for nothing. And then we'll talk about the Great Migration. One of the best books I've ever read about the Great Migration. Isabella Wilkerson, The Warmth of Other Suns. A phenomenal book. listened to it on a drive to Mississippi on audiobook. And I absolutely loved it. It was one of the best things that I've ever heard. We'll talk about wars that hit. We'll talk about World War II. Can you imagine being a black man and somebody telling you in a country that you love and work in that you are not good enough to die for your country? Now, granted, I wouldn't be chasing you trying to fight. Hey, I want to die. No. But what that made you feel like when someone told you, not you can't eat with us, not you got to come in the back door, not your kind aren't welcome, but that the ultimate sacrifice you're not worthy of. And then we'll talk about from 1980 on. We'll talk about conservatism and backlash and Reagan era politics and how some black people made out, some black people didn't. We'll talk about incarceration. We'll talk about new voices, new visibility. And then black people in politics, where somebody by the name of Jesse Jackson decided to run for president. We'll talk about Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, and Barack Obama. Now, some people scream and holler and say they don't really want to talk about Colin Powell because he was a Republican. But therein lies the richness and the issue with the black community. That we want acceptance from others, but we won't give it to each other. So today we'll talk about that. We'll have the top five at five. But one of the most important things you should understand is that no matter what, we're here. And unfortunately, if we keep going the way that we're going, we won't be here for long. When you put the data up side by side and see 12 million some odd slaves, and our population is only 13, 14 million right now, that's a problem. When you look at the white community, that's gone from how many million to roughly 63, 64% of the population. That's an issue. Not that it's so, but because we don't know how it became that way. And so those are some of the historical things we're going to dive into. Debates over integration versus self-determination. And some of the problems we have in the black community is it has to be one or it has to be the other. You have to be this, you have to be that. What defines you when you're black? But we're not going to be talking about Africa. We're not going to be talking about Central America. We're not going to be talking about the Caribbean. We're not going to be talking about Europe. We're going to be talking about life upon these shores.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. For Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Hey, y'all, when you want long-lasting comfort and reliability. It's easy to trust Pella. Every piece of furniture, every piece of window, every piece of everything is specifically constructed for you and your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance to last for years, and built to create long-term energy savings. And if you order by August 31st, you get 0% interest for up to 5 years. You only got 10 days, y'all. Visit PellaWI.com today. PellaWI.com. Oh, I'm sorry. I was here dancing. 833-212-1017 is the number. I have been remiss, and I was supposed to do one quick, single, solitary thing because I got to check for myself because, you know, it's Thursday. So we got to do a meetup one day. We gotta pick a Thursday during the year. We got to meet up and hang out and run off at the mouth and talk about everything except the truth. You know what that means, right? That's all you'll talk about. Like, it's like telling somebody not to do something when you want them to do something because then they'll just go do it. By the way, current temperature, 75 degrees, sunny. High today was 76. I was up north. It was about 80 degrees outside today. So the low tonight is about 61 degrees. Winds are from the northeast at about 8 miles an hour. Humidity, 59%. Barometric pressure is falling. So it should be a nice night. Should be a nice night. Nice, clear, quiet. It's like a 2% chance of rain. You might get a drip, like boop, and then that's it. So yeah, it's not too bad. Traffic's coming up in a few. So I want to dive into the life upon these shores, looking at African American history, 1513 to 2008. Here's the book right here. As you can see, it's a pretty beat up book because I absolutely love reading this book. It is. Dun, 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 dun. It is. And this is a number of books that Henry Louis Gates has written. It's published by Alfred A. Knopf. K-N-O-P-F, Alfred Knopf, in New York in 2013, by the way. So what's this about? What are some of the early encounters we've had regarding America? So Africans are first recorded coming to America in Florida with the Spanish in 1513. That was the earliest encounter that we know of between Europeans or whites, Africans, and Native Americans. So if you can imagine, let me see, 1492, 8, and 13. So that's 21 years since what they call the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. You know, we just make up names of ships so we can make kids learn them, you know. And we name things after people who found people who were already here, which is amazing how you can say that you discovered something. Hey, I discovered America. Well, you really didn't because it was already here. There were already people living here, and there was society. But then we developed because we came to Florida, 1513. We developed what we know now as the transatlantic slave trade. But figuring out how to make money came that thing called cotton. And cotton was a huge economy. So the growth of plantation slavery in the American colonies grew exponentially. I've got free labor at a point. And then Europeans started saying, why can't we make money off this? And so if you go back and watch movies that talk about slavery, if you go back and watch The Woman King with Viola Davis, it talks about the warring nations, the warring tribes in Africa. And when they would take a group prisoner, they would then sell them to white Europeans, who then took them across the seas and sold them and made their money. So if you can imagine the amount of money you would make on a slave to then turn around and give somebody your gold so that you could sell bodies, they made significantly more. Where the Bible talks about the things that make you look, the flashy, right? The things that sound good to your ear, people talking to you, saying wonderful things and how great you are. And in the end, you're taken captive, sold for significantly more than the trinket you traded for the human being. But yet that's what happened. That's how you build okay. So X is telling me $11,000 to $40,000 per person. Now that's in today's dollars. That's in today's dollars. So you're talking, I don't know, guy my age who can still work, who still has his strength, probably would go for around $15,000-$20,000. If I'm a kid or a teen, we're talking 40. But if you're elderly, maybe I need you to work around the house, nurse my kid. And that was another biological thing. Some people seem to think that women can't nurse children if they're not pregnant, which is not true. So they would have them nurse their children after they had them, take care of their children, things of that nature. To the point where they wanted to keep their property, so they codified slavery, made it legal, and if you ran away, you could be taken back anywhere in the country, anywhere. But then how did we get to where we are now with culture and religion and the resistance we have today? When we came together, as with any normal human group, regardless of race, culture is created. Conversations with older slaves, elders, found that this is not normal. Which gave rise to slave rebellion. But then how did the role of Christianity play? Well, we all know some people believe that some of the tribes of Israel and tie in the fact that they use scripture for the darker races they talked about, the wars. They turned it on us. The narrative is those things were us. We were supposed to be oppressed. We were supposed to be slaves. I always found it ironic, before we go to break, the same religion that oppressed us is the religion that liberated us. Now, some people will disagree with that. But historically, it's proven so. Some of our most prolific leaders, both today, yesterday, and a century ago, were black preachers. When we come back, we'll talk about the revolution and the new generation. That time between 1776 and 1865. You have any thoughts? 833-212-1017 is the number. But before we go, Tracy, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. And Tracy's not there. Tracy just hung up. I guess Tracy got scared. Maybe I'm talking too deep. 833-212-1017 is the number. I'm just checking the talking text line. What happened to grace period? Come on. So in the talking text, before we go to break, I told him class has begun. Everybody except SC was late, so you get 10 demerits. Miles says, what happened to grace period? What grace period? There's no such thing as a grace period. What are you talking about? You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. We'll be right back.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Preach, preacher, for God shall wipe away, yes, sir, every tear from their eyes. Yes, sir. Get ready for the revolution. Come on. What you say? Come on.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Hey, Truth Nation, please join us for our third annual Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 23rd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Riverside University High School. Admission to Truth Family Fest is absolutely, positively, beyond a shadow of a doubt, F-R-E-E, free. And a great place to celebrate, have fun with your family, with your friends, have some food, good music, an opportunity to win some big prizes like backpacks for kids. K-I-D-S, not A-D-U-L-T-S. You're an adult. You ain't getting one. And you ain't getting one to take home to, hey, I got like 12 kids at home. Can I have a backpack to take to each of my? No. You got to be there. So make sure you save the date this Saturday. That's 2 days, y'all. Third annual Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 23rd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Riverside University High School. Truth Family Fest is presented by Crash Course Driver Education Center and U.S. Cellular. It's also sponsored by Milwaukee Area Technical College, Landmark Credit Union, U.S. Bank, Milwaukee Public Schools, Gruber Law Offices, Big Frog, Educators Credit Union, and the Riverside University High School. So come check us out. Come hang out. I'll be there for a minute. I'll hang out for a couple hours, see what's going on. You coming, X? X like, absolutely not. I'm not coming to hang out with you. I see you every single day. 4 to 6 on 1017 The Truth. The Truth app.
The question is, am I paid to be there?
You're asking the wrong person. Dimitri. I was just reading what Dimitri said. Life upon these shores, looking at African American history, 1513 to 2008. I will put it in the chat, and I'll set up the talking text line so that you can just text me a word and you'll be able to get the title and stuff of the book back. Cool? When we go on break. Next break. Remind me, X. So if I forget, it's X's fault. I got to find somebody else to blame because me do something wrong and take blame? Oh, I don't think so. So before the break, we were talking about the early encounters, 1513 to about 1776, right? When somebody decided they discovered America and they wanted to start, we want to start an entire country here. And so now we're here. Did you know there were black patriots fighting for the American Revolution? The participation of enslaved and free Africans in the Revolutionary War, there were debates over liberty and slavery. I mean, but can you imagine black people who have been through enough traumatic events that by the time we got to the American Revolution, they was like, I'm ready to go. But when you have slaves already and you make them fight against the British, that's a little different too. But then some were free and they fought. Now, the problem is, could you really tell who's free and who's not if you're fighting on the same side? Because I'm sure in some instances they made sure a lot of them were put back in slavery, even though they may not have been slaves. Sounds familiar? We talk really great when we're trying to fight for something, and then when we get it, you're tossed aside. Both political parties have done it. Most of America has done it to black people. But there were free black communities. There were free black populations in the North. We started schools like Wilberforce, started by the African Methodist Episcopal Church. We've got churches, mutual aid societies, Prince Hall Masons, and early abolitionist movements. We were fighting against slavery since the beginning of the country. But yet, it seems to have still not taken hold. There seems to be some ongoing, never-ending argument to why blacks are free. And if it were so, I'm a firm believer that we would be black in chains if certain groups had their way. But I think today, with the advent of AI and so many other things, you really don't have to put us in slavery because our minds are enslaved, seemingly, to the internet. And see, when you say that, people think, oh, you don't like the internet? I never said that. But if you spend your entire day, think about the habits that you have and the things that you do that involve the internet. Look at your phone sometimes and track usage, and you'll see. It'll shock you. And so we had resistance from Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, slave uprisings, fights, underground networks that brought us seemingly to the free North. And then in 1865 came the Civil War. We fought with the Union soldiers, that's the North. The Confederacy was the South. We talked about it yesterday with the flag. I also told you of my fear of getting rid of things that remind us, everyone in America, the things that were done to us. Because in the end, if you forget it, I'll just replace that symbol with something different and you'll never know. And it'll be docile and it'll be plain. It's like the white sovereign group that gets certain license plates or stickers on their car that remind you of Heil Hitler, HH, because his two letters, H and H, are the eighth letter of the alphabet. Subtlety. We got the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865. Lincoln was killed in 1863. Or was it the other way around? Anyway, black soldiers were in the Union Army, and we were able to get it. When we come back, I'm going to touch on Reconstruction, but I want you to see some of the promises that were made and some of the promises that weren't kept. It looked like we were going to make it, though. We had land. We had jobs. We had businesses. We had families. But somewhere, it disconnected. We had constitutional amendments. We had schools. We had everything. Land-grant institutions popped up. But yet, we still couldn't make it. Why is that? And why do we struggle today?
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Somebody said, what, you trying to have church? And I'm like, no. Do you know where this song is from? This is the song that was sung during George Floyd's funeral that played around the world. Just to remind you of some of the issues we're still going through. And so before the break, we were talking about the Reconstruction. We were talking about higher education. Let me read to you from page 157 of the book. It says, Emancipation, Civil War, 13th Amendment liberated nearly 4 million slaves from bondage, but the formerly enslaved population was jobless and displaced, faced an uncertain future. They established the Freedmen's Bureau, March of 1865. The federal government attempted to provide for the immediate needs of freed slaves, but basic relief supplies were not enough to alleviate the effects of hundreds of years of slavery and oppression. It's like giving a book to somebody who doesn't know how to read. Giving a food utensil to somebody that's always eating with their hands. Makes no sense. Education was critical to freedom, and for many would be the bedrock of Reconstruction policy. And so what happens is you had schools like Fisk, Hampton Institute, now Hampton University, Howard, Morehouse, created specifically to educate us. And so you see 1865, Fisk University, Morehouse and Howard, 1867, Hampton, 1868. Cheney University, the oldest historically black college or university, 1837. Lincoln University, 1854. Wilberforce, 1856. So we talk about the historically black, but many times we don't really understand the depth to which the history goes. That somebody had the foresight to understand how important education was. So when your kids step up and they want to ask you, well, you know, college isn't for everybody. Yes, it is. Just depends on which part you go to. 2-year, 4-year, trades, it's for everybody. We moved from zero to 180 before slavery was over. These schools were started, run, and are here today. So if you could think why you're complaining about you don't want to go to an HBCU because they don't have air conditioning in some of the rooms, that when it was built, air conditioning wasn't even invented. But yet, they went through. So next time you want to cry, you want to complain, don't. But then there was resistance. The Great Migration was resistance. So people think, oh, because the history books. We moved because we wanted better. and there was no slavery up north. Well, think about it. I'm going to take away your major source of money. We already got the Emancipation Proclamation. We already got the Freedmen's Bureau. We already got schools opened up. What's the one thing you can do to decimate an economy? Look at what's happening today. How many businesses go out of business because right here in Milwaukee, we can't find people to go to work? Because right here in Milwaukee, we can't find younger people who want to do the type of work that they need to do to make the type of money they want to make, so they become complacent and decide that where they are in life is where they belong. So we moved north and west. It's not by accident. We've got a significant number of wealthy black families that went north to the northeast, to Chicago, New York, LA, San Francisco. You don't find many of us in the Plain States, and you don't find many of us in the Pacific Northwest. But that's for another show. We had the Harlem Renaissance between 1915 and 1945. My grandmother and my mother and my father were part of the Great Migration from Alabama to Chicago. You had an explosion of black art, music, language. Notice the wins we have are in those spaces where the rules are plain, equitable, and fair. If you just give me the rules, play by the rules and be fair, we can win. But then came intellectual thought. Langston Hughes, Zora Neale Hurston, who wrote profound books, and we'll look at some of those in the coming weeks. But then there's World War II and the March on Washington. And so these are some of the things that we'll talk about after the top five at five that brought about the civil rights that we know of and the black power that you may have heard of. Because today people talk about black power, but I don't think anybody under 50 really understands what black power means and how it can exert itself to move mountains. Because we only read what they want us to read. You can only go so far if you run an African-American studies program and the type of books you have people read. You can only go so far because anybody can take that class. But if you want to know the truth, I suggest you grab this book. It talks about black power from a nationalism point of view, that it wasn't about integration. It really was about self-determination. And that if you want us, we're fine. But if you don't want us, we're fine. That if you accept us, we're great with it. And if you don't accept us, we're great with it. But then we'll also dive into the what I like to call everyday life and integration and how it shaped the public perception of us in the 21st century. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. When we come back, top five at five and more from Henry Louis Gates Jr. Life upon these shores.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.